listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Have you ever been to a church that is over 300 years old, Sarah?
That's a great question.
And to think about that for a minute.
I had to think about that for a while.
Over 350 years old, a congregation over 350 years old.
Not in the United States.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, today we get to meet a pastor that serves a congregation. He's not been there for over 350 years.
That's a different story.
The congregation has been around for over 350 years. And we get to share that story today. You'll also find it in the current issue of Lutherans Engage. It's a fantastic story. So looking forward to chatting about that. Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu.
Live uncommon.
Joining us today, the Reverend Peter Debra. He serves the Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. Pastor Debra, welcome to the Coffee Hour.
Thank you, Andy.
I am so intrigued by your story. I get to read a preview copy of Lutherans Engage and hear about the Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. I believe this is in the neighborhood of Washington Heights. How did you come to this congregation?
It's a long story. One that goes back to the country of my birth, which is Guyana. It was a former British colony. And I was born during the colonial time, towards the end, albeit. And I grew up in the Lutheran Church in Guyana. I was baptized in the St. Andrew Parish and pretty much grew up and was involved in the congregational life of the church locally and nationally. And so I felt the call of God, if one were to perhaps describe it that way, when I was 9 years old, sitting in the pews there at St. Andrew, listening to the pastor who baptized me, A.R. Bowen. And I used to daydream that one day I will stand in the pulpit there and do what he was doing, whatever a nine-year-old was receiving during liturgy. And so that was my first recollection of yearning to be part of the church and to serve the Lord. And then later on, I was offered the opportunity to preach at Good Friday services when we'd have a three-hour service and there would be seven preachers, not having a pastor who was there for the service. And so the preaching responsibility was shared among the lay people. And so I grew up in the church and was commissioned a deacon later on and came to the United States in 1998. And a few months into my stay here, with an opportunity, I came with the intent to looking into the opportunity to enter into seminary. And lo and behold, there was the Delta program that was about to begin later that year. And I enrolled into that program. It was part of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne. And yes, so I began my theological training there. And then I was assigned by President David Benke of the Atlanta District to St. Matthew there in Washington Heights. It was a vacant parish. And I served there as the vicar under the supervision of a vacancy pastor, and then was called upon the completion of my studies and ordination in 2005. So yes, that's my quickly a brief view of my journey from the land of my birth, an descendant of indentured servants. I want to put that in too, because it is important that I share this. My foreparents, my great-grandfather, he was 4 years old, and he, with his mother and father, came from India to Guyana. It was a British colony, as I mentioned, and to work on the sugar plantations after the abolition of slavery in the British Empire, then British Empire, in 1834. And they came in 1859. It was June 13th, 1859. And so that is my paternal grandfather. So my paternal grandmother, her records go back to 1846. And so that is the records that I've uncovered so far in my research. Yes. So if you will, it is a journey from India and to the Guyana and then to the United States, as I am happy to share this with our listeners.
That is quite a story, and I'm sure there are many, many stories that go along with everything that you shared with us, and maybe we'll get to share some of those at some point, but let's talk a little bit more about the church, St. Matthew Evangelical Lutheran Church. Tell us about the people, the saints that make up this congregation.
We're a small group of the people of God, those who are called by the power of the Spirit. And we gather on Sundays, 1:30 in the afternoon, because we're sharing space with another congregation. We are renting space, as a matter of fact. And so we do not have a building of our own. And so we are happy to gather, not at the best of time, on a Sunday, 1:30 in the afternoon, especially in these summer months when it's hot and humid. And so we gather as it is, I'm reminded of the psalm last Sunday, say to God, how wondrous are your deeds. And we gather to do that. We're people from different backgrounds, from the Caribbean, Trinidadians and Barbadians, Saint Kitts. And we have from Africa, Ghana and Puerto Rico, African Americans and young and old, a baby in the congregation, and the oldest member is in his 90s, mid-90s. Someone that I found out while visiting a senior living center not too far away, where one of our members is a resident. And lo and behold, there is someone that I met just in passing, because I go there regularly. I conduct a worship for the residents there while visiting the parishioner. And this member was a member and is a member of St. Matthew going back to the 1830s when she was baptized. And so it was a by chance meeting and I'm happy to minister to her and to her husband, who is in the later stages of dementia. So yes, we have that cross-section of people. And it is again what the Bible says, describing the people of God who are dressed in white robes and who have come through the tribulation.
What can you share with us about the early history of St. Matthew Lutheran Church?
St. Matthew goes back to the 1640s. There is a record of a Roman Catholic priest, Father Isaac Jogues, when he visited the then colony of New Amsterdam. It was a Dutch colony at that time. And he wrote in his travel narrative that there were Lutherans among other religious people of religious persuasions. And Lutherans were gathered there from different countries of Europe. And so it was soon after that time that they banded themselves together. And they named themselves the Evangelical Lutheran Church of the Unaltered Augsburg Confession of Faith in the island of Manhattan. And so soon after that, in 1648, they wrote to the church, the Lutheran Church in New Amsterdam in Holland, in the Netherlands, asking them to send a pastor to minister to the Lutherans there. And it took some time for that request to be fulfilled. And at that time, I should also mention that the Lutherans were not allowed to worship openly. The Dutch colony was served by the Reformed Church at that time. And so the Lutherans were prevented from conducting public worship, and anything at all was done in their homes. And so the faithful Lutherans had reading services, and a minister was sent. His name was Ernest Gutwasser. And so he came in 1657, but he was not allowed to perform pastoral duties. As a matter of fact, he was in hiding in the winter in which he came. And in the spring, he dared to now go into the public and ministering to the people of God of the Lutheran tradition, and he was stopped by the authorities and put in jail and was sent back to the next ship going back to Europe. And so it was a very difficult time for the people of God. And it was then in 1664 when the colony changed from the Dutch rule to that of the British. And on December 5th, the Lutherans petitioned the first British governor, Richard Nichols, that he grant them permission to worship according to their practice and belief. And then on the very next day, they receive what we call the charter. This document exists still with us. As a matter of fact, this is a copy of this document, and it is in the public library downtown Manhattan, where it is in permanent custodial keep. And it therefore gave permission to the Lutherans to worship as long as they do not interfere with others in their religious practice. And so that is considered the official start of the Lutheranism in, St. Matthew Lutheran Church, though at the time it was later named Trinity Church. Of course, there were Swedish Lutherans who were there, and they would have been worshiping in the Delaware area.
That is quite a history, and we love history here. So I know we have a million questions, but we need to take a quick break before we dive in any more. We're talking with the Reverend Peter Debra of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. We'll be right back. You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon. Whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan, you'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.
Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Sarah Golseth.
I'm Andy Bates.
We're talking with the Reverend Peter Debra of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City in the Washington Heights community. And let's talk about how this community has changed, how the congregation has changed over the last 360 years. What are some of the highlights of that history over time?
When the church started, they were Lutherans from different countries coming from Europe looking for opportunities in the then Dutch colony. And so there were Hungarians and Germans and people from the Netherlands, Scandinavians, and French. And also a gentleman by the name of Jonas Brank, from whom we have the name Bronx, the Bronx, one of the five boroughs of New York City, and then a suburb called Bronxville, named after him again. And so he came in 1639, and then he had a homestead there on the mainland, which is part of the Bronx. So there were Europeans, and it was a Dutch-speaking congregation, and that continued until the 1750s, when there was quite a number of German-speaking Lutherans. And they wanted to have worship services in their mother tongue, the language which they spoke at home and in which they used to pray and call upon the name of God. But the leaders of the Dutch congregation would not allow them to have services in German, which led to a branch off, if you will, a daughter congregation named Christ Church. And so it was around that time when the congregation was served by Henry Melchior Muhlenberg, the father of Lutheranism in North America. And so he tried to bring the two groups together and was not successful in doing that. It was also at that time when the church began its parish school in 1749. And it was also from that congregation of Christchurch where Reverend Macquarie's son, Frederick Augustus Muhlenberg, he was one of the pastors of Christchurch. And Frederick later on became the first Speaker of Congress of the United States of America after the War of Independence. And so St. Matthew has that distinction again of, and he served also as the third Speaker of Congress. So it was a European church and a predominantly German later on from this middle of the 1700s. And it continued as a German church. And until many of the slaves coming up north came to New York and looked for opportunities to be part of a worshiping community. And so that church, which was actually named at one time the Evangelical Lutheran Church, the German Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. And then in the early 1900s, they removed the name, the word German, and it is now the Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. So it is now a congregation that is reflective of the community and how that community has changed over time. And so it was also because of the school which welcomed people in from the community into their space. And so you had now Hispanics and African Americans and all the immigrant groups of people who were settling in the Washington Heights area and who became part of the church because their children came to St. Matthew Lutheran School.
Tell us more about the community where St. Matthew Lutheran Church is today. Tell us about what that community looks like today.
The community of Washington Heights, it is in the northern part of the island of Manhattan, which is about 17 miles long. And so it was, if you might have come to New York City and passed over George Washington Bridge, it is around that vicinity. And so we are a mile north of George Washington Bridge. It's 90% Hispanic, the majority of whom are from the Dominican Republic. And you have, you know, groups of people also from other Caribbean islands, from the mainland Central America, Belize, and lots of Jamaicans and African groups and people from the English-speaking Caribbean. So it is quite a diverse group of people. There are also students who are finding a safe place for them and where it is also less expensive, those who are attending Columbia University and other educational institutions in Manhattan. And so they also live in that community. And many times those of Lutheran persuasion, they would join us during their short stay in Manhattan.
It's a very diverse community. How has St. Matthew been welcoming to immigrants over this really, really long history? I know you've named many, many places where people have come from into this community in Washington Heights and St. Matthew.
I am reminded of St. Paul in his writing to the church in Corinth, where he talked about wanting to be all things to all people so that he might be able to tell of the glorious gospel of our Lord. And so this is how we see ourselves as a church, as a people of God, becoming, if you will, what others are, and to be with the weak, and to be with the stranger, to be with those who are seeking to be part of community, those who are lonely, those who are here without their family members, waiting for them to join them at a later time. Those who grieve and in all circumstances, celebrating with them also their achievements. And I mentioned our school, celebrating the young people, the children in the school, as they graduate from one grade to the next and then moving on into high school. And so, yes, it is being with the people and being a part of their life's experience and walking with them and laughing with them, rejoicing with them, and crying with them and sharing with them in their life's experience.
With just a couple of minutes left, what are your hopes for the future of St. Matthew Evangelical Lutheran Church?
As we know, our hope is in the Lord, and the future is in His hands. I remember a colleague who could not attend our 360th anniversary when we celebrated the anniversary on December 8th, Sunday, December 8th, the anniversary date being December 6th. And he said that whenever he looks at the flyer and the invitation and he sees 360, he's lost for words. It is hard to conceive and to think about a church that is that old here in the New World. It is actually the oldest Lutheran church of the New World, the extant, oldest existing Lutheran church in the New World. And so it is the hand of God that has brought us through these 360 years. And then we can even come to 16 years before that, as it goes back to 1648 and even maybe earlier, when Jonas Brunk was there in 1639. The hand of God, as He would have guided the people through the wilderness journey to the promised land, it is His hand also on His people who are joined to Him in holy baptism, who were called before the foundation of the world. It is He who will continue to call people to enter into His reign and to receive the inheritance that He has given to us in His Son Jesus, so that all those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, which is our biggest and greatest reason for us to rejoice, that they will be called by the power of the Spirit through our witness, through the witness of our current membership and those who will come after us, those who will take our place, and those who will show the love of God in Christ Jesus and let people know in this time of their wilderness journey, if you will, that the gospel of hope is true and sure, and that God is faithful to His promises, and that all that we have done and are able to do and will do, it is all by His hand of power upon our lives. And so, yes, our lives and our future and our hopes are in His hands, as He would lead us and guide us in the days ahead.
Amen. Our guest today, the Reverend Peter Debra, pastor of Evangelical Lutheran Church of St. Matthew in New York City. Pastor Debra, thank you so much for sharing the story with us today.
Andy and Sarah, I am just happy to tell about the love of God. It is His story and it is our story. In that beautiful hymn, "This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long." And that's what we're about. I'm so happy to have shared this time with you.
You can read more about this story in the summer issue of Lutherans Engage. You can find that at lcms.org as well. You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO. To support The Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit KFUO.org. You can also text KFUO to 41444 or send an email to gifts@KFUO.org. And you can call us at 800-844-0524. KFUO. Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.